Good stinking morning to everybody who is smoking that la 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 la. Well, it's hump day, folks. I had to just touch base on this. You know, I'm watching basketball and, you know, back in the day, there was, you know, Lampier, there was, you know, fights in hockey all the time, scuffles in football, and so on and so forth. I mean, that's what made hockey so popular. But basketball was very, very, very physical game. It seems Draymond Green, something's going on with the boy. Something's going on with the boy. And, you know, because the thing is that ever since he punched the fucking ever lights out of Jordan Poole. Okay, Jordan Poole used to be a shooting guard for Golden State Warriors. Kyrie was through the roof. He was just doing good, landing threes. I mean, his confidence was through the roof. The kid just felt unstoppable. He felt like, you know, he almost was starting to feel that you could see his confidence almost look at Stephen Curry and saying, 3 years, you're going to be my Batman. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how fast the trajectory for Jordan Poole was going. Then the incident happened in the locker room where in the gym you see Draymond Green just totally light him up. And I don't know why I don't know why Jordan didn't, like, you know, kind of flinch a little bit, like, yo, he's fitting to throw a fucking haymaker at me. You know what I mean? And you know how, and he should have taken in fact that, you know, Draymond Green's, you know, MO is pretty much get physical. So to not put your dukes up is just retarded. So Poole gets punched out. And totally buckled his legs. I mean, he buckled his shit. I mean, he rocked that boy. He rocked his nod. And so it seems like Jordan Poole hasn't been the same. So there was an ultimatum put to Golden State. Like, it's either Draymond or Jordan. So Golden State went with Draymond, four-time NBT championship, two-time defensive player of the year. So they stayed with him. They gave him a contract. I think it was like $140 million, I want to say. Something in and around there. So it really got Draymond, you know, feeling himself again. And, you know, and to Draymond's credit, he's been doing really good this season. He's picked it up. You know, he could tell that you can see that, you know, Father Time is starting to catch up with him. He's got some of the whiskers growing on the side of his face. And he does the podcast. So I think out of everything, it's the podcast that's really starting to drive his actions. Because we all know that once, you know, you don't get it. It's very often you get a player currently playing and then still is very dedicated to what they do outside of basketball. So for Draymond to have this podcast and it's blowing up, they know anything he does on the court is going to get scrutinized and that he's going to have to talk about it on the podcast. So now it's like if he's getting work down low, he doesn't want to hear somebody call up or a guest that he has and says, oh, well, you know, Draymond, you was getting work down there on the low post, on the outside wing, off of Jurgic the other night playing Phoenix. You know what I mean? And he won't want to hear that shit. You know what I mean? Because it's versus Draymond Green. He's got a big ego. He is what he is, right? So he knows that at the end. So to me, it felt like he's on this play. He's getting muscled by Jurgic. People are going to start saying, oh, you're getting weak and da 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 da. So he turns around and he says, fuck it, I'm all done. I'm not even going to play this guy today. I don't even want to play. I'm all done with the game. They pretty much threw in the towel. And if it wasn't for their bench, for Golden State's Warriors bench, they would have had 80. I mean, 80 points. The bench is what bring them back into the game. So at the end of it, towards like, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it was a fucking, it was like a 2-point, 3-point game, and they were up by 18, 20. And so the bench battles back, gets them in there. You know, Draymond Green is getting worked in the low post by Jokic to the point where he's ready to fall. And so Draymond does this, you know, 180 spin and comes around with like a right hook onto Jokic or Jokic or whatever. I get him and the Joker confused. So he kind of whacks. He kind of hits him. I'm sure he sold it a bit, but you know, this something this small. I don't know why he's you know teeing off like that. But I have a little idea that it's the podcast. I think, you know, he has to talk about a lot of stuff, and his play is under a microscope even more now because he's got the podcast. When he didn't have the podcast, he could do these type of things and say what he wants. His little, you know, his excuse for what he did was totally horrible, and he kept, you know, he kept saying it profusely. You could tell he was totally lying. His body language was telling me he's lying. He doesn't give a fuck. And he really can't wait to get out and start talking shit about the reporters and everything else and all the haters when he gets on his podcast. So it seems to me like this is his last hurrah. And then after that, he's going to be... And you look at this too... LeBron James came into the league before him. You know, and here's Draymond starting to feel fine. And you got LeBron James running up and down court, fucking still fucking putting down slam dunks and alley-oops. And for somebody like Draymond Green that doesn't have a lot of offensive firepower, he's going to have to consolidate his game to give himself a little bit more, to get, keep himself in the point bracket. Or player sufficiency rating, which is his this year is through the roof. So he's putting in that work. He's doing what he has to do. The longevity of it is a story that makes sense, not for Draymond, but I'll tell you who, and that's Klay Thompson. What is Klay gonna do? Klay was I don't like Klay Thompson's attitude. His attitude is really, really sucky. Okay. If there's a shot goes in from the other team, he puts his head down. He's like, ah, fuck, you know, they scored again. Listen, this game, they're going to score a lot. All right? It's not about them scoring. It's about playing the defense, doing your job, and being able to limit those scores here and there. So then give your team the advantage to win. So, you know, just get used to the fact that there's going to be scores on games, and there's going to be close games. But your emotional investment into these games is somewhat too much to the point where it's all about your emotions, more or less, whether the team winning or not. Your emotions want you to win, but your emotions are hampering you to win because of the points that go in that are meaningless. You know, every point is, you know, not every point counts. Like, you know, when you get to the fourth quarter, yeah, every point really starts to count. And you get on, you know, these 15-6 runs or, you know, 10-0 runs in the last minute and a half. You know, that's what I'm saying, they do and they don't. But he shouldn't just be so invested in every shot. Now, before Chris Paul came into the pitch-up, Stephen Klay was the one that would peel off a screen, come around the corner and do a spot-up three. I mean, excuse me, that was, yeah, so Klay Thompson would peel off the corners and do a spot off three, and then the dime would be laid out from Stephen, from Curry. So now that Chris Paul is involved, it's not Thompson that's coming off the pick no more, it's actually Curry. Because at the end of the day, you know, they're both lights out shooters, but you know, Stephen Curry just got that it factor. Like, that boy's got the clutch gene if I've ever seen it. Like, he just... the way he throws up a shot, it's not odd. It's like he just chucks it the fuck up. It's like he just throws it up, and then the air, when the ball's flying through the air, all the air says, okay, now we got to move this over here, da-da-da, and then it's through. It's like he just throws it up to the basketball gods and they do the rest. I swear, it's just he just chucks it up. I've ever watch him, like some shots you can see, you know, he really puts his whole form into it. But those quick shots, like the one he had with Phoenix, I think it was at the buzzer, and I think it would have sent the game into overtime, if I'm not mistaken. And he almost hits it. Okay, he was like literally 2 inches shy from getting a swish. So he's got his feet pointed over to the bench. He throws the ball up. It nicks the fucking rim, right? It like a close shot. I mean, anytime you throw, that kid throws up something at the end of the game, you gotta hold your breath, like, you know what I mean? Like it's that daggerish, you know. So he you know, but if it wasn't for his feet pointed at the bench and at the hoop, I think he would have got the basket. He just threw it up too quick, and he didn't give it enough power. And all it needed was maybe another 1 or 2% worth of power, flick power from the wrist, and it was over. But Phoenix got lucky; they escaped out of that. But you know, what a sad sight to see if Golden State Warriors bench, Phoenix's bench is bad. That just showed me that Phoenix's bench has got a lot of holes in it. So if one of those starting five rotation players come out, forget about it. Phoenix is going to see a couple losses, and you could see where they are vulnerable in certain areas. But that team is pretty stacked, and it's getting well manicured and oiled as the season progresses. So I'd say after the All-Star break, Phoenix is going to be something that's on a trajectory that could bring them to the finals. I really do. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see the Celtics and Phoenix at the end of the day. I haven't been checking out Boston like that. It's my hometown team. But I'm eagerly waiting Memphis's return of Ja Morant. Ja Morant is soon to hit the court soon, or either he's there now. So oh, yeah, further down the street. Yeah, okay, we have the plumber Rumford Stone coming today with big trucks just parked further down the street. Mike's coming also with Pat. Sounds good. So, yeah, I'm waiting. I'm eagerly waiting Ja Morant's return. What do you guys think? I mean, what's up with Ja Morant? Are we going to see have we seen the last of the side gangster antics that he's pulling? Or do you think we're going to see some more of this shit? What is your take on the Ja Morant situation? Has he learned his lesson? Did he learn his lesson? Is he working on himself? Is he trying to be a better person? You got to understand, these guys are very young. And, you know, talk about an ass full hole of money. My God, I mean, he's got $228 million. He would have had $268 million if he didn't fuck up this time. I think he lost about $40 to $60 million in advertisement, sponsorships, shit like that. But, you know, some of these companies stayed with him all even through this gun shit. They just know that, like, hey, he's too good of a star. He's too big of a moneymaker. And if you think you're going to shake me out of this investment, you're out of your mind. My money's staying here. Scared money. Because here's the deal. Remember this. Scared money doesn't make money. All right? Scared money does not make money. So even if, like, you know, like it was, like, people were scared to go into stocks because they didn't know. When Webull first came out and the pandemic was hitting, it just started hitting, I was like, I'm getting into the stocks, like, hell yeah. And if I had more money that I could have shorted Carnival stocks, you would have been loaded. You know what I mean? And it's only through the options. can you make some serious cash? That's where the real gambling takes place, okay? And I don't mean to go off on the side note, side tandem, but the stock market is a serious gamble. It's the biggest, it's the best gamble for your money than actually going to a casino. In a casino, it's 90% chance the house is going to win. If you go into the stock market and start trading options and go in there with a strategy, the know-how, the due diligence, and the research that you needed to conduct for yourself to see where the company may go in the next 5 to 10 years, or even in that year, how's their debt? Okay? How is their debt? If you have a real debt to asset ratio and it's close, then that's something you don't want to deal with, because they're just a few bills away from being bankrupt. Okay? So a lot of cash on hand is great, but what's the debt coming like? What's the debt coming? And then also you want to know what is the, you know, the MACDs, MACDs and the MAX, all these, you know, and these, you know, conversion, diversion rates, they're all statistics, and they're all little, you know, earmarks to make a good recipe on a good thing. So options are where it's at, and I wish I could trade options back then, but you can't. I can't go back and try. But scared money don't make money, so I knew that I had to give it a shot. So, I mean, hey, look it, you guys, you know, we all spend, if you're into music, you spend 10 bucks a month, 12, 15 bucks a month on your Amazon. You entertain yourself at 15 bucks a month with Amazon. If you couldn't take a year's worth of that entertainment and put it to your investment for your future, then something's wrong with you. Okay, it was like yesterday's episode when I said, I can either give you $10 now or I can give you $100 in 3 days. Do you know what I mean? So a smart person would look and say, hey, even if I waited 3 days for the 10, I would make 30 bucks. So if I wait 3 days, it's going to cost me 30 out of the 100 that I'll get, so I'll still profit 70 bucks. And in the long run, evaluate your situation. If you're living with your mom or you're a kid, hey, I don't have to pay nothing. This is all gravy. I just got to sit and wait 72 hours, and I'm going to catch $100. All right. You know what I mean? So it was like me. I can either sit here and watch this thing, or I can take a stab at it. So yeah, I practiced. I did paper trading, paper money, and learned a little bit, and took a stab at it. I made a few hundred bucks. Nothing to write home about. I lost a couple hundred bucks, so I kind of, you know, I think I came out about $200 on top. So. Download the Webull thing. I'm not asking for the free stocks. If you want to take my code and use it, you'll get 2 free shares of a stock that's over $100. And if you deposit more than $100, you'll get 2 shares worth over $100. If you deposit about $25, anything under $100, you're gonna get a stock that's ranging anywhere between $5 to $10, and you'll get 2 of those. So, if you wanted to jump on that, you guys can hit me up at WayneMelanson4@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter or X at IllumaCorp. And you can also find me on X by Wayne420. So the goal for me this year is to learn options really good. So I'm doing the paper trading, and I've been doing the options. Now, I did the options yesterday. It was funny because I did about $800 worth of options, and I made about $1,000 off that. So I was pretty stoked about it. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing though. So that was a catch. So Alex Jones is coming back to X, speaking of which. Alex Jones, the one that's laid all the seeds for the Democrats in the colleges that now support Palestine, the seeds were embedded by Alex Jones, which now, you know, not saying it was all totally him, but all the conspiracy theories and, Jews control this and Jews control that, well, his rhetoric and conspiracy theories have fucked up the minds of so many, and along with others, Dave Icke, and, you know, any conspiracy. What I'm saying is that the whole conspiracy theory community, and I have nothing against them, but what I'm saying is that when you have people that can't decipher, you know, real from fake, and can't make a rational judgment and a decision, is when you get, is what you get this. So a lot of these college kids, I'm sure, back in the day when they were kids, they was watching fucking YouTubes. They were getting picked on. You know, so, and they got a lot of built up resentment. They stayed home. They watched a lot of YouTube, played a lot of video games, learned a lot about this Illuminati shit. Whether you want to believe it or not, but if you believed 100% of it, which seems like a lot of these kids, you know, took it full line, hook and sinker, they're in front of colleges right now, raising flags, Palestinian flags, marching in support of brutality and rapists and killers, terrorists. You got the presidents of these institutions not knowing the difference between genocide and support. If it's in a context, what the fuck are we talking about? Are we gonna split hairs, really? Are we really gonna split hairs over this? Look at you, people know that genocide is bad. But what I'm getting, my point is that the irony of it all, the guy that they kicked off, you know, X for having too much hateful rhetoric and outlandish conjecture, has sown the seeds of conspiracies to the point where our colleges are now supporting Palestinian ideology. It boggles my fucking mind. It boggles my mind. Now, me being the Democrat and switch Republican, I can see through some of the bullshit. You can see through some of this entertainment and some of that. I mean, people watch these videos and they totally believe exactly everything. I mean, they'll go tell their friend, like, hey, do you know fucking Pepsi is fucking making sugar out of fly shit and fucking feeding us and we're all gonna die? You know what I mean? And, like, they start getting all fucking hemmed and hawed in the next 3 months. The next thing you know, and 3 months later, they're fucking conducting some fucking huge, heinous act, when they realize 6 months later, nothing really happened, nothing ever changed, and the story that they read didn't come true. They start feeling like a fucking ass, because you believed all that shit, they got somebody seriously injured, and all this and all that, and you believe it, and now this is the byproduct of that. This is the byproduct of YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, the whole king caboodle, Google, all the just conspiracy theories and all the bullshit that they didn't ban, censor this or censor that. All those years of the non-regulations and no censorship allowed for a lot of this sentiment against Jewish people right now. Telling you, that is what is causing this. Because if you look at it, they're nothing but young kids that were fucking stuck in their house, sucking on their thumb, listening to Ma, not out spray painting walls and shit. No, they were in playing on fucking Drake's Uncharted, Call of Duties and shit like that, Minecrafts and witch hunt and whatever the fuck you got. And in the meantime, in between that, stuff in their faces. And listening to YouTube's propaganda, this is the byproduct of that. You don't think so? These kids ain't fucking sitting there watching C-SPAN. They're listening to YouTube. They're listening to their celebrities and their Cardi B's and their fucking Bernie Sanders and shit. They're not, and their fucking Barack Obama's. They're not listening to any type of real constructive criticism or difference of opinion. Because the thing is once they heard a story like, hey, you know, fucking, Disney's evil, you know, and they're moving kids, and then you had the Pizzagate. Right then and there is when they should have really did a lot about that shit. But they didn't, because you know what? It was working towards It was working towards another ideology. I mean, it was working to another solution. Do you know what that was? Gun control. That's the reason why they didn't want to get rid of it, because they had to keep it for gun control. So for every little thing that they try to keep this shit, this propaganda, this narrative, you know, and all these conspiracy theories, and never did nothing about those. But if you say shit when you're making a video on YouTube, they're going to cancel you. But, you know, to say that, you know, James Alefine was running kids in this basement of a pizza place that was owned by Tony Podesta's brother, and the DNC fucking was being held next door, and they were running kids underneath the fucking street. You know, they make this sound so good that the people freaking eat it up. And not one government official wanted to censor any of that material or content, because it was helping to support the gun control, okay, and the gun control laws around the country. So they didn't want to get rid of it, because then it kills exactly the narrative that they're trying to put forth. Especially when you had a school shooting or you had a police shooting, you know, these real bad acts of violence. And a lot of them was, some of, you know, and a good chunk of them were, you know, people shooting up synagogues and whatnot. And they still won't say anything. They won't pull any of this stuff out, because it's supporting their narrative. But it's almost starting to backfire. You know, too much is too much and too soon. So now you got, now it's got to the point where it's got into the presidents of the fucking colleges, where like, what in the God's name is going on? You're telling me fucking elite academia doesn't know the difference? To the point where some congresswoman has to friggin' put them under the pressure of a congressional hearing for them to understand that it's bad? There's something wrong with it? That's fucking crazy. That's a chilling moment right there. Do you know what I mean? And especially when they battle, like, oh, well, in what context? Don't be smug with me, bitch. You fucked up. You fucked up. And she said it too. She goes, I'm gonna give you one more time in front of the world to make this right. Do you consider, you know, the harassment of Jews a genocidal act? Or does it help with genocide? I forget verbatim what they were saying. And she finally said, yes, it is. In the context, yes, it's harassment. She goes, never mind what context, it is harassment. It's always harassment, Mrs. McGill. You know what I mean? Like, let's not play freaking stupid. But this is the type of, you know, word jujitsu they like to play and shit. But, you know, don't get fooled for that. But I just want to throw that little thing out there, is that, you know, the whole ideology of thinking about supporting Palestine that's coming about now is due to Alice Jones and the David Icke's, and the colleges are no different than Hitler back in the day, because they don't mind seeing the extermination of Jews, because Palestine supports the Jews' extermination from the mountains to the sea, correct? So essentially, that's what they're doing, you know what I mean? But listen, guys, just wanted to stop in on Hump Day, say hello, see what's going on, and just wanted to throw that little tasty tidbit out there. Draymond Green, he's quite the baseball. He's quite the basketball player. But hey, shout out to the Boston Celtics. Happy Hump Day to you guys. I hope the week's treating you good. Have a great day, and I'll catch you on the next one. Peace.